God's grace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to use this time in which we want to dive deeper into your word to find the meaning of our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, this weekend, some of you get the weekend off. Some of us still have to work. But this weekend, there is something to remember, and hopefully that video kind of set the tone. And looking at the videos online, I had to watch this video probably about 25 times in order for it to finally strike me that there was something even deeper in its meaning. And so I kind of had to say, okay, now what does this really mean? What does this really mean? And so I kind of have two questions, or a question and a statement. And I just wanted to go over that with you this morning. And it kind of pertains to kind of way things are right now. And so if we take a look at this, is when tested, where have we turned? When tested, where have we turned? And so looking at Scripture and how things have been, and kind of looking at the Bible as something that to kind of ask, you know, did anything happen back then that happens now? Are we any different than the people in the Bible? And so I take a look at the book of Judges. If you would read this with me. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. So here we see that it is trying to indicate that things kind of go in generations. Each generation is not the same as the same generation that comes after them and comes after them and comes after them. And so in the time of the judges, they were coming at a time when God did great things. I mean, miraculous things right in front of their face. But it didn't take long for people to kind of get into this mode of, well, if God's going to save us, then let's just go and do our own thing and don't worry, God will save us. And so here lies this idea here that what about now? What about now? And so I was looking at this video, and a couple of things were striking me, is that what's the most prominent thing that you can see in this picture? All right, the white crosses. All right, and so we go to another part of the world. What's predominant in this picture? White crosses. All right, now, what country are we in now? We're in France, the French. If you notice the pictures of the American flag next to the French flags, and you will see once again, predominant figure is the white crosses. And how about this? This is Arlington National Cemetery, right across from Washington, D.C. Does anything here stick out? The cross on the grave markers. And so it's interesting that a lot of these come from some of the same generations or some of the same mindsets. And so I kind of had to ask myself, what's going on in the generations that came at this time period? You know, I have no clue. You know, I wasn't born anywhere near that, didn't know. I had to ask around. And people say, well, you know, we live in a different time. We live in a kind of a place that was not as fast-paced, and people held values a little bit more. And take a look at this. All right, this is the tomb of the unknown soldier. The tomb of the unknown soldier. Here rests in honored glory an American soldier. What is that? Known but to God. It's interesting now that even as my dad was reading me the paper, there was a, I don't know what the circumstances was, where there was a student that wanted to read in his address for graduation, wanted to reference God, and they weren't allow him to. But here, on the most sacred place in which you go and visit the tomb of the unknown soldier, you don't say a word. You respect that place. And if not, the sergeant on duty will point you out and make an example of you. And there's many videos that have shown that people who disrespect this place, they don't hold back. You hold this in honor. And it's interesting is this is the place that we call honored. And we acknowledge here this idea that God is first. That God is first. All those white crosses, all the references, not just to any religion, but to a faith found in Christ as the backbone, the cornerstone of our armed forces, of our country, of everything we're about in this country. And it's interesting that in just maybe two generations, this is kind of going by the wayside. And it's a little fearful, but at the same time, the question, what next and where do we turn? Well, we turn to Scripture. Romans 1, Paul says, they knew God, but they did not praise and thank him for being God. Instead, their thoughts were total nonsense, and their misguided minds were plunged into darkness. Later in verse 25, it says, these people have exchanged God's truth for a lie, so they have become ungodly and serve what is created rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And so Paul is pointing out to us over almost 2,000 years, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. When Luther came about and was visiting the churches throughout Germany and in those regions, he wrote the Small Catechism because of this type of behavior found in the churches. And so he said, we need a simpler way in which to teach even our little children about God and also just everyone in the church. So that was a reason for the Small Catechism. And so today, where do we point? Where do we point? Well, let's talk about this. What will happen if we fail to keep God first? What will fail that? What will it take for someone to go to the tomb of the unknown soldier and to take concrete and to mark God's name out? How soon will that happen? Will it happen in your lifetime? Will it happen in my lifetime? Will it happen in your great-grandchildren's lifetime? Do we know? No. Do we worry? Not the least. Why? Because God is still God. And we kind of turn to him and say, okay, King David said, Psalm 33, he said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people he has chosen as his own. And so in the United States of America, where we profess this faith rooted in Scripture, which is the Bible, in faith in Jesus Christ, that if we get too far off there, then we don't know what will happen. What we do want to say is if Christ is the center, then not as a country, don't complain about the country being off center. What we do is say at the grassroots, the very basic thing, go back to our Lutheran roots, into the home. The home is where faith journeys start. And so when our families are stronger in the faith, our country is stronger in the faith. And so when we go back to all of that, that's where we find that our nation is strong in our families. And in the families, you find the love of Christ. And so our nation today, we need to continue this tradition of passing along faith from one generation to the next, because we don't want to get into the area of the judges and the area of the Romans where they forgot God. We don't want that to happen in our country. What we do want to do is remember each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, each and every year that we exist because of what God has done for us. And so our nation is stronger when the Lord is first. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we have many references, both here and abroad, that our country is firmly fixed on the faith that comes through you and what you did on the cross. Lord God, we are forgetful at times. We're forgetful that we are blessed because of you and not anything that we have done. We ask you to go forward in all that we do. Help us keep you first no matter what. In your son's name we pray. Amen.